You're listening to Connecting Faith, and we have an opportunity right now to connect again with Rick Matson. Over the weeks, we've been chatting with Rick as we talk about how to more effectively share our faith, how to be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have. Rick is an apologetic specialist for University Christian Fellowship. He's authored a wonderful book called Faith is Like Skydiving and Other Memorable Images for Dialogue with Seekers and Skeptics. And we've had lots of opportunity over the weeks to review various metaphors and talk about the ways in which we can effectively share Christ. Rick has served as a staff worker at InterVarsity for over 30 years, and he currently serves at Hamline University in Minnesota, but travels around the country, colleges and universities, just simply encouraging and training and encountering a lot of people. And I think we always wonder, Rick, when it comes down to it, how do we balance that tension between being in the world but not of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a difficult question. And I think it varies for different individuals in your faith walk, how mature you are, how far along you are in your faith walk. For some people, they can handle more tricky, delicate, dangerous situations. Others, I think, need to just exercise a lot of caution. It seems like Scripture gives two main guardrails. So you've got the left ditch and the right ditch, you might say. And our job is to walk down the road. But on the one hand, you have the whole call in Scripture to holiness. On the other hand, it's to influence. So holiness and influence, I think if we can use those two words, H-I, holiness, influence, hi, or hello, or Hawaii. I was thinking of H-I being Hawaii, but kind of the holiness side of things, 1 Peter and Leviticus call us to holiness. 1 Peter says, be holy, for I am holy. So this isn't just dry mechanical morality. It's a reflection of who God is. He's the one who is holy, and we represent him in the world as his agents. And 1 Peter also says, 1 Peter chapter 2, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And this gets back to Israel being a holy people, representing God with the surrounding nations being very unholy. So the contrast was really there. And that's what our lives should show. Our lives as Christians, as followers of Jesus, should be different than the world around us. And I think holiness, Francis Schaeffer said, the mark of love in our lives is a way that we distinguish ourselves from the world, especially Christ's supernatural love. That's what he really means by that in our lives. So thus, we are not of the world, and we need to maintain some distance at times. So that's the kind of the first half, to be holy.
I think my experience has been, well, I'm going to work a lot more at the holiness side of it. And the influence side, well, I don't know, because that gets muddy sometimes.
It does get muddy. In John 17, Jesus prayed that God would not take us out of the world. I think we enjoy Christian fellowship, and we enjoy being with our friends because it's just so rich to have time with them in prayer and talking about the things of the Lord and just enjoying life. Sometimes we don't want to get out in the marketplace so much and get our hands dirty, so to speak. But Jesus says, don't take them out of the world. In fact, Jesus himself modeled contact with the world by hanging out with tax collectors and sinners. And, you know, the late, great John Stott, the British statesman and theologian, he said, Jesus didn't come to us in a spacesuit. I've always remembered that image from John Stott, that Jesus came to us in human flesh. He came to be one of us, and he dwelt among us. He was born in a stable. He grew up and taught among the common people and the elites as well. And he got his hands dirty. He went to the cross, and God didn't protect himself from us. And if you do studies in table fellowship, for example, in the Gospel of Luke, you see that Jesus would eat with anybody. Well, were there any cuss words that took place in those situations? Probably. Were there any people of ill repute in those situations? Probably. And so, anyway, we're talking about two guardrails here, holiness on the one side and influence on the other. And I guess the real question then is, how do we maintain a holy and pure walk with God while still having influence in the world? And that's the tricky part.
Well, because we get into the real world questions like, should we attend gay weddings? That or many other examples.
Yeah, there's all sorts of things like that. I think to go Well, let's say some friends invite me to an R-rated movie, and I know it's going to be pretty explicit. Maybe I just say to them, hey, I enjoy doing stuff with you guys. It's really great. In this particular instance, I just don't feel like my heart and mind can handle the real explicit nature of this movie. So you guys go ahead, enjoy yourselves. I'm going to have to sit this one out. Okay, what just happened there? I didn't condemn them for going. These are a bunch of my friends, maybe don't know Christ or not Christians. So I didn't condemn them, but I said something about myself and my relationship with God, that I'm trying to keep my mind uncluttered with some pretty negative graphic images that I might encounter at that R-rated movie. So I think there are creative ways to handle some of these things. Now, maybe they invite me to a party where I know there's going to be quite a bit of drinking, and maybe in that case, I don't abstain from going, but in fact, I go along, and I sit there, and I love them, and I'm saying to myself, Jesus would be here. I'm looking around the room. Wow, this is kind of crazy. I think Jesus would be here. Now, if I have a problem myself with alcohol, then that would be a bad place for me. Maybe I was converted to Christ out of an alcoholic background. That would not be a good place for me. But if I'm pretty strong and I can resist some of the temptations that are going to be there, and maybe I'm with another Christian friend so we can support each other, so then that's a fine time to be there. And I think in all of these tricky questions, what we really, really need, what this gets down to, is the wisdom of my community. I go to my community, my friends, and I say to them, could you folks provide some input, some prayerful wisdom into some of these tricky decisions that I'm having to make right now? Because I don't always know. These are not chapter and verse in the Bible. The Bible gives us these big guardrails. Holiness on the one side, influence on the other. How can I navigate this? And when it comes to specific instances of those principles, I need the wisdom of my community to help navigate how I'm going to say yes at certain times or say no at other times. And if my motive really is love for the other person and representing God, a lot of these decisions can take care of themselves. Especially if I'm carrying those decisions out with the input of my community and pastors and so forth. But if I have other motives, like, oh, I would secretly like to go there and try some of these things, and I'm afraid I might slip up, but actually that might be a good thing. You know, if you sort of have those contrarian thoughts going on in your head, then I'd say, hey, caution. Now's the time to use a lot of caution and not allow yourself to be sucked into situations that might be damaging to you.
What kind of feedback do you get when you decline an opportunity like this? What do people say?
I think it's a lot in the posture and manner, tone of voice in which I decline. If I say, I appreciate these invitations so much. I just feel cared for when you invite me to things. In this particular case, I just don't think it's the right environment for me. I'm just trying to follow God with my heart and mind. And I don't think that this situation would be good for me, but you guys enjoy it. And next time, please invite me. And if I have stuff going, I'm going to invite you back. So I actually think this is a good testimony to people because you're saying to them, I'm not condemning you for it, but there is a little cautionary note put into this exchange that I had with my non-Christian friend. And that person might be thinking to themselves, whoa, maybe this isn't the best situation for me either. Maybe what Rick and Neil and the little standard that they're following here could be good for my life as well, and it might open up a conversation about Christ from there. Should we do gay marriage?
Yeah.
Just dive in.
Because it's one of those questions that we don't know what to do with.
I could just totally stumble over this one because it's just so complex. But if my friend is not a Christian and I'm invited to the gay marriage, I'd probably go. Maybe not every time, maybe not every person. So I'm a little bit hesitant about making a general rule, but just how about Rick Mattson talk about Rick Mattson here instead of everybody else? I'd probably go. And if these folks aren't Christians, they're not pretending to follow Christ with their lives, then this is how they live their lives. And I want to be there and care for them and all of that. If they're Christians, then that's would be harder for me because personally, I don't hold to a biblical standard that gay marriage is okay in the sight of God, that it really is covenant marriage in God's will. So then I'd be much more hesitant, and I might say to them, Yes, I'm going to attend. I love you, even though I don't agree with his choice. Or in a slightly different situation, because there's so many factors involved here, or if I would be a slightly different place in my walk, I might say, no, I'm not going to attend, but honestly, I accept you as a person. I love you as a person and a friend and a fellow believer, but biblically, I don't agree with gay marriage, so I'm not able to come and celebrate that particular aspect of your life with you, but I still care about you. I hope we can hang out and do everything. So I'm going to politely decline with a very strong affirmation of my care and love for them. Again, these are tricky waters. I'm not sure I said that right now. So all the hate mail can go go to Neil Stavem.
That's right.
But I think those are the sorts of things I think about: being gracious, being wise, going in with a bit of caution in my posture, but always being loving and caring. But at some point, maybe it is time to stand up and say, no, this isn't quite the right thing, and I don't want to celebrate that particular aspect of your life with you.
We talked about the guardrails, the call to holiness, as well as the call to influence. So keep those guardrails in mind. Find a community, believing community, that you can really work through these issues. And then, the objective to really love and develop relationships with as many people as we can.
Yeah, when we're on our own, we're not going to make good decisions probably. But when we do have the wisdom of friends who are walking with Christ and could provide that biblical input to our lives, we're going to make wise decisions in these difficult areas.
We've been talking In the World But Not Of It, our segment today with Rick Mattson. Rick's an apologetic specialist for InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and he's served as a staff worker there for over 30 years. He's serving now at Hamline University in Minnesota, but travels around the country, college and university campuses, as well as churches to help people be better equipped to share their faith. He's written a wonderful book called Faith is Like Skydiving and Other Memorable Images for Dialogue with Seekers and Skeptics. And you can reach him at rickmatsonoutreach.com. That's rickmatsonoutreach.com. Rick, good to see you again. Thank you.
Thanks, Neil.
I love his good insight, wisdom and compassion and, Ted, those aren't easy decisions to make sometimes.
No, it's tough issues, yeah. But I like what he said, just love the person and care for them as God does. Yeah. It's good.
In the world, but not of it. That's that ongoing tension that we live in. Rick Mattson is, we do a regular visit with him every couple weeks or so. And you can find those interviews posted on our website, as well as our earlier conversation with Kathy Lipp. And we'll post that as soon as the show's over. So check it out on the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. It's Connecting Faith at myfaithradio.com. Tomorrow, Jim Burns joins us. We're going to talk about building strong marriages.